You know, in our relationships with people, one of the hardest things to do is to... How would you finish that sentence? In our relationship with people, one of the hardest things to do is to... And in your mind, fill in the blank there. There's a lot of hard things. I know you're trying to choose. Right? You're trying to choose what's the hardest thing to do in our relationship with people. But what I want us to think about today is in our relationship with people, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive. Is that hard? Is forgiving other people a hard thing to do? You know, in a lot of cases, we don't want to do it. That's what makes it hard for us to do it, is sometimes we don't want to forgive. Whatever has transpired, whatever they have done, we just say, I don't want to forgive them. And so we make it hard for them to get the gift of our forgiveness. We make them jump through a bunch of hoops, but we make those hoops as small as we possibly can. We're going to put as many conditions out there that they've got to fulfill in order to get our forgiveness, and we just make it harder and harder for them. Is that true? Oh, don't shake your head up and down, but in your heart you're thinking, well, sometimes it is because of that particular person. Today I want us to focus on our theme for this year. You know, our theme for this year is being imitators of God. And so every month during this year we're trying to focus on a quality of God that we need to imitate. And it took us to the fifth Sunday of the month. That's not very good. It took us to the fifth Sunday of the month to even get to talk about the theme for the month of May. But I want us to talk about it today. If we are going to be imitators of God, then we've got to be imitators of His mercy. Is that true? Is our God a merciful God? You know that He is. And aren't you thankful that He is? And if our God is a merciful God, are we not responsible to be imitators of His mercy? Be imitators of His forgiveness. And so today I want us to think about Jesus. Did Jesus have anything to do with forgiveness? Was there anything about the life of Jesus that you think involved forgiveness, that involved mercy? I want us to think about Him today. And I want us to think at the start of this lesson, just as a summary of Jesus' purpose when He came to this earth. What would you, if you were to summarize just in one statement, here's why Jesus came to this earth. Here was His purpose. What would you say that it was? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 15, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world." Now, why did He do it? What was His purpose? He came into the world to save sinners. You want a summary of the purpose of Jesus in coming to this earth? It was to save sinners. State it this way, He came to forgive people. That is what His purpose was. You get to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, and the Bible there says that God loved us. How much did He love us? He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that word, big word, propitiation means? It means that there were consequences for our sins. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus came to satisfy those consequences. Jesus came to take upon Himself the wrath of God, so that we would not have to bear that wrath. He came to satisfy the wrath of God. That's what the word propitiation means. What was Jesus' purpose in coming? I'm only going to use these two verses, and we're going to move on to the next point. But if you want a summary of Jesus' purpose in coming, it was all about forgiveness. He came to forgive us. And aren't you glad that that's what He came to do? That's what He was all about. And so if that was His purpose in coming, what about looking at His life? Would His life fulfill that purpose? So for just a moment, let's survey not Jesus' purpose in coming, but let's take a survey of Jesus' actual practice when He was here. If his purpose in coming was about forgiveness and saving people from their sins, what about his practice when he was actually here? And I want you to see that everything about Jesus' 33 years on this earth was about forgiveness. From his conception. Now, I know when he was conceived, you might think he's in his mother's womb and he's not forgiving anybody, and that's true. But when the angel came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he told Joseph to name the child Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Jesus had just been conceived, as at least in a human form. Jesus, we know from our Soldiers of Christ study in John chapter 1, that he always has been. Jesus is eternal. But he had just been conceived in a human form. And the Bible says that the angel told Joseph, you need to name him Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. From the moment he's conceived, what's his life going to be about? Forgiving people. And you see that throughout the rest of his life. You read about Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, where he meets a man who is paralyzed. You know what he did for that man who is paralyzed? You're going to think, well, he healed the man who is paralyzed. Yes, he did. You know what he did even better for that man who is paralyzed? Matthew chapter 9 says he forgave him of his sins. That's why he came, to forgive people of their sins. In John chapter 8, read about a woman who was brought to Jesus who was caught in the very act of adultery. You know what he did for that woman? Forgave her of her sins. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus meets another sinful woman who comes to wash his feet. You know what he does for that sinful woman in Luke chapter 7? Forgives her of her sins. In Luke chapter 19, he meets a sinner by the name of Zacchaeus. You know what he does for that wee little man? The very thing that wee little man needed the most. You know what he did for him? He forgave that man of his sins. Jesus is hanging on the cross in Luke chapter 23, and there's a man hanging on the cross next to him, that thief. You know what he did for that thief? One of those thieves who was hanging next to him on the cross? He forgave him of his sins. From beginning to end in the life of Jesus, he was all about forgiveness. And you don't just see it in his life, you see it in his death. You see it when he's nailed to the cross, and what's one of the statements that comes out of his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Could you have said that? We're going to come back and talk about that verse in just a minute. But could you have said that? Could you have said that about the people that just stretched out your arms and nailed a spike through your hand? Jesus was about forgiveness. Before he got to that moment in Matthew chapter 26, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he took the cup and he said, this is my, you remember what he said? This is my blood, which is shed for many. Why, Jesus? For the remission of sins. Jesus was going to the cross. Why? For forgiveness. His life was about it. His death was about it. And before he left this earth, before he ascended from this earth, you know what was on his mind? Forgiveness. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, he told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what happens after we preach the gospel to every creature? Jesus said in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, shall be forgiven of their sins. Right before he goes back into heaven, what's on his mind? I want people to be forgiven of their sins. In the Great Commission in Luke 24 and verse 47, he told his disciples, go and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. He wanted people to be forgiven. He wanted them to hear how they could be forgiven. That's what is on his mind even before he leaves this earth. But once he got back to heaven, he wasn't concerned about forgiveness anymore, right? I mean, he had done his deed. He had fulfilled the purpose that we saw in the summary. He had practiced forgiveness on this earth. Once he gets back to heaven, it's back to business as usual, right? No more forgiveness. No. When you read about Jesus, when he's at the right hand of God, when Jesus is now in heaven again, what's he all about? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says he always, how often? Always lives to make intercession for our sins. You know what Jesus is wanting to do in heaven right now? He's wanting to forgive every single one of us of our sins. And so if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, just keeps on cleansing us. Because that's what Jesus is about. When you look at a summary of the purpose of Jesus in coming, what was it all about? Forgiveness. When you look at a brief survey of the practice of Jesus when He was on this earth and even after He left this earth, what was it all about? Forgiveness. So how does that apply to us? For the rest of this sermon, what I want us to realize is that as we examine the life of Jesus and as we examine Him and as we continue to do that in this lesson and His focus on forgiveness, that He looks to us. He looks to us to submit ourselves to His prescription for forgiveness. Was this not up there already? I thought that was up there already. See that line? It should have been up there already. Goodbye, line. We're going to the next point. We need to submit ourselves to the prescription of Jesus when it comes to forgiving others. And what I want to do in this point is I want us to do three things. We're going to look at Jesus through three different lenses in this point. The first lens I want us to use in looking at Jesus is I want to look at Him through the lens of Jesus being our Lord. And as our Lord, Jesus is commanding us to forgive people of their sins. He's commanding us. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at a couple of the passages that are on the screen up here in front of you. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 17 in these early verses. I want you to see what Jesus says, and I want you to see what our Lord says in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 3, where Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, how dare he, that good-for-nothing brother, he sinned against me again. You rebuke him, and if he repents, you kick him in the teeth." Is that what he says? Your brother wouldn't have many teeth left, would he? "If he repents, forgive him." Does that sound optional? Does that sound like you make as many small hoops that he's got to jump through before he can get over there? If he repents, what's the command? Forgive him. "And if he sins against you once a day, twice a day, three times, four times, five times, he sins against you seven times in a day." Anybody ever done that? Did you keep count? Did you keep count and let them know? This has been seven times today you've done this. "If in seven times in a day he sins against you and seven times he returns to you saying, 'I repent,' what do you do to him the seventh time? You shall forgive him." We are commanded by Jesus to forgive. Isn't that interesting? Matthew chapter 18 is that occasion where Peter has that conversation with Jesus. And he has that conversation where he says to Jesus, "Lord, you know, how often should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times?" And all Peter thought he was being generous by talking about forgiving his brother seven times. And what did Jesus say? "I don't say unto you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." You thought it'd be a big deal to count up to seven. Have you ever counted up to 489 times that you forgave somebody? And you said, "All right, this is up to 70 times 7 now. It's 490. What's the point? Jesus is our Lord, and He commands us to forgive. Look over Mark chapter 11. I want you to see the simplicity of Jesus' words in Mark chapter 11. He's been talking to His disciples about prayer in verse 24, and He tells them, it's one of our favorite verses in verse 24 of Mark chapter 11, "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them." What kind of trust do we have in prayer? But I want you to see verse 25 of Mark 11. "And whenever you stand praying," are you with me in Mark 11, verse 25? "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone," what does that leave out? What does "anything against anyone," what does that leave out? That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? "If you have anything against anyone," what are the next two words? "Forgive him." What's the point? When you stand praying, You want your Father to hear you when you're praying? You want your Father to listen to you when you're praying? Then if you have anything against anyone, our Lord commands us, forgive them. Do we believe that? Do we practice? Here's a different question. Do we practice that? First lens I want us to see Jesus through, He's our Lord. He commands us to forgive. Second lens I want us to see Jesus through is that He is our standard. He doesn't just command us to forgive. He's our standard showing us how to forgive. Isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't just tell you to do something. He goes out and practices whatever He told you to do. And so the Bible often uses this little adverb, as. This little adverb, as, is found in the New Testament to talk about comparing us with our Lord. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 to see one of these. And as you go over to Colossians chapter 3, it's over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 that you might know better. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, the Bible tells us to be kind to one another. You're going to Colossians 3, right? Ephesians 4, 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How much, Lord? Even as, there's your adverb, as, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's our standard. There's our model. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Here's this word again. If anyone has a complaint against another. You don't have a complaint against anybody, do you? You don't have a problem with anybody, do you? You don't have any issues with anybody. Just put our words where that word complaint is. You don't have any issues or problems or complaints against anybody, do you? God says, bearing with one another, forgiving with one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, here it is, even as Christ forgave you. Look at the rest of the verse. Do you see the word must in your Bible? You must do also. Does that sound optional? Does that sound like if you feel like it, if you're having a good day, if you woke up on the right side of the bed, if that's possible? Is that what He says? No. You got to complain against another? Forgive them. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to have mercy on others. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, Jesus tells us, have mercy even as your Father in heaven has mercy upon you. So there's that little word as. This says we need to look at ourselves and we need to compare how much we forgive compared to Jesus and how He forgives. But I want you to think about Jesus hanging on that cross. You know why He's hanging there. But I want you to think about the fact that Jesus was hanging on that cross nearly 2,000 years ago and hanging there making provision for forgiveness that in many cases was not even needed yet. Let that sink in for just a second. When Jesus is dying on the cross, was Jesus forgiving you of your sins when He was dying on the cross? You didn't even exist yet. Was He forgiving your sins when you died on the cross? You weren't even here yet. What was He doing? He was making provision. He was shedding His blood for you before you ever existed. He was making preparations so that you could be forgiven somewhere down the road. And not just you, but millions and billions of other people. That's Jesus. Before forgiveness was ever needed, He was making preparations for it. Do we do that? Is that where we are? You know how Jesus could do that? You know how He could go to the cross and make provision for forgiveness before that forgiveness was ever needed? He could do that because He had a desire to forgive. And I know you know that, but think about that. Jesus had a desire to forgive. He wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wanted us to be forgiven. He wants everybody to be forgiven. Can I ask you a question? Do we? Do we have a desire to forgive? Not just do we have a desire for people to be forgiven. That's a broad statement. Do we have a desire to ourselves forgive others? Jesus had a heart for forgiveness. He had a heart for forgiveness. Do we? Do we have a heart for forgiveness? There's that verse again from Luke chapter 23, verse 34, where Jesus is hanging on the cross, and these Roman soldiers had just nailed his hands and his feet to this cross. He had just come from that trial where the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Where the judges, where the judiciary were looking for liars. They were seeking false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And when he's hanging on that cross, he has a heart of forgiveness that says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Had those people repented? Had those people asked for forgiveness? Jesus had a heart of forgiveness that looked at these rebels, that looked at these sinners, and he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us to put on tender mercies. You know why we need to do that? Because while Jesus was stripped of all of his clothes while he was on the cross, while he was stripped of all of his dignity while he was on the cross, he was clothed. He was clothed in tender mercies. And God tells us, be clothed, put on tender mercies, and forgive others. Do we? Jesus had a heart for forgiveness. Do we? Jesus had a readiness to forgive. How often do you read about Jesus telling his disciples, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things"? Why, Jesus? Because I want to forgive. He had a readiness. He wasn't holding back. He had a readiness to forgive others. Now, here's a word you may not think of about Jesus and his forgiveness. But over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, and in a chapter that tells us as Christians how we are to behave towards others, and in a context where he's giving us the kind of spirit and the attitude we need to have as we do these things, Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says, in showing mercy, here's our responsibility. In showing mercy, what kind of heart, what kind of attitude are we supposed to have? Romans 12 verse 8. In showing mercy, cheerfulness. Jesus had a cheerfulness to forgive. You may not think about that word in regard to Jesus, but it's used in regard to us in Romans chapter 12. Jesus had a cheerfulness to forgive others. I want you to picture Jesus hanging on that cross. And I know that he's got blood flowing down his body. I know he has sweat flowing down his body. I know he has tears rolling down his cheeks. Why is he there? Because he has a heart of cheerfulness that wants to forgive others. When Jesus forgave that paralytic in Matthew 9, or that woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, or that sinful woman in Luke chapter 4, when he was forgiving others, do you picture him doing that begrudgingly? "Well, fine, I'll forgive you." Do you picture him doing that? You picture Jesus doing it with an attitude? "Yeah, you need forgiveness, don't you? Uh-huh, I know you do." You picture Jesus doing that? You picture Jesus doing it with a snarl? "I'm the only one who can forgive you, and you've got to have it, so I'll give it to you, but I'm the only one." You don't picture that, do you? That's not your mental picture. Do you picture Jesus doing it with his fingers crossed behind his back? "Sure, I forgive you." You ever done that? But his fingers are crossed behind his back because he didn't really mean it. You don't picture Jesus doing that, do you? Jesus had a desire, a heart, a readiness, a cheerfulness to forgive. Can I ask you a question? Do we have that kind of heart? Do we forgive begrudgingly? Do we forgive with an attitude? Do we forgive with a snarl? Do we forgive with our fingers crossed behind our back? If we do, we are not acting like Jesus. Because forgiveness, when we do it right, is to look like Jesus when we do it. Do we look like Jesus by forgiving others? In James chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and is willing to yield." You know, the fourth thing he says is, the wisdom that is from above is full of mercy. Are you full of mercy? The Lord is full of mercy, James 5 verse 11 says. Are we full of mercy? Think about the example of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Was Stephen following the example of Jesus in Luke chapter 23? Stephen is being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. I want you to think about the worst thing that a person could ever do to you. Maybe think about the worst thing that a person ever has done to you. The worst offense they've ever committed against you to which they needed to be forgiven of. I want you to think about the worst thing they've ever done. I don't know what the worst thing is. Maybe throwing you out of a helicopter. That'd be pretty bad. Throwing you out of a helicopter. I mean, that'd be a horrible thing to do to you, wouldn't it? Anybody ever picked up stones and thrown them at you and at your head in order to kill you? In the very last verse of Acts chapter 7, as Stephen is dying, what does he say? "Lord, sick them. Get them. Nail them. They deserve..." Is that what he says? Wow. Could you say what Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, verse 60? "Lord, do not lay this sin at their charge. Do not charge them with this sin." What? Could we do that? Let me ask you something. Had those people repented who were stoning him to death? Had those people asked for forgiveness? No. But what does Stephen say? "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." I want you to notice something about Jesus in Luke 23 when he says, "Father, forgive them for they know not what they do." And about Stephen in Acts chapter 7 when he says, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." I want you to notice something about these two men. Who are they talking to? Both of these men are looking up to heaven. Both of these men are talking to God in heaven. And both of these men are releasing these sinners in heaven and are saying to God, "God, I've released them of this sin. I'm not going to hold this against them, and I don't want you to either." Somebody's going to say, "But if they don't repent, then I don't have to forgive them because that's what Luke chapter 17 says." That's your personal relationship with them, and that's how you communicate, and that's how you interact with them. But let me tell you something. Jesus talked to God and said, "Father, forgive them." Stephen talked to God and said, "Father, Lord, don't lay this charge. Don't charge them with this sin." Have you ever talked to God about somebody who's done you wrong and said, "God, I'm done with this. I'm letting it go. And God, why don't you let it go too? Let's just be done with it." Now, God's going to do what God's going to do, right? Did God forgive those men who crucified Jesus without them meeting any conditions for salvation? No, that's not the case. God's going to do what God's going to do. But guess what I need to do? I need to do what I need to do. And what I need to do is what Jesus did. And I need to let it go. And then I need to tell God, "I'm done with this, God, and you can be done with it too, as far as I'm concerned." And we do that for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons we do it is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that Christian love, Christ-like love, agape love, does not keep an account of wrongs that have been suffered. If you're keeping a list of every person who's ever done wrong against you, and you're keeping a tally of every wrong they've ever done against you, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, that is not Christ-like love. Because that love overlooks transgressions. Doesn't mean that we allow people to walk all over us. That's not what it's talking about. Doesn't mean that we make ourselves a doormat. That's not what it's talking about. But saying, I don't make that the issue of my life. I don't keep a record of those wrongs. I tell God, God, I've got bigger things to deal with. I'm trying to save souls from their sin, not keep souls underneath their sin. Help me to do my job. When Jesus was here, and even after Jesus left, he was all about forgiveness. Are we? Seriously, are we? What do we want to do? We want to hold a grudge. Oh boy, I like this little grudge. It's a cute grudge. I've been holding it for so long. It's just a part of me now. It's just a part of myself. I've had this grudge for years, and you know, I've just adopted it as my own, and we want to hold on to it. We want to hang something over somebody's head. Yep, you did that, but one of these days I'll let it go. But for right now, I'm just going to let you remember what you did. Tell me which of those things is like Jesus. None of them. Not a single one of them. Lens number one. Jesus is our Lord. What's he doing? Commanding us to forgive. Lens number two. Jesus is our standard. And in our standard, he's showing us how to forgive. Lens number three. Jesus is our forgiver. And he is placing conditions upon our forgiveness. Would you go to Matthew chapter 6, that passage that was read? We're going to close with these thoughts. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6, that passage that was read just a little while ago. We know Matthew chapter 6, and sometimes we call it the Lord's Prayer. Maybe better to call it the model prayer, because he gives us so many things to pray for in this prayer. He's not giving it to us as a script to pray. He's giving it to us as examples for things to pray about. But I want you to look in verse 12. Lord, have you ever prayed this in verse 12? When you pray, do you ever ask God to forgive you of your sins? I hope you do. How often when you pray, do you ask God to forgive you of your sins? I do it every day. Do you ask God to forgive you of your sins every day? I'd recommend it. How often do you sin? You better be asking God every day to ask, forgive. So when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, do we pray it this way in verse 12? Father, forgive me, I'm making it me, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. God, as I forgive others, will you use that as the same standard to forgive me? Boy, that would change us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it change us if I said, God, please forgive me and use the same standard that I use to forgive other people? Hoo-hoo! We might change our standard in forgiving other people if we prayed it that way, wouldn't we? But look at verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15 say, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many sins against you that other people have committed, how many of those sins do you want to hang on to? How many of them do you want to harbor? How many of them do you want to count up until they jump through whatever hoops you've set up for them? Or how desperately do you need to be forgiven of sins yourself? Same standard, he says, that will be used for how we are forgiven is the same standard we ought to use towards others. Look over in Luke chapter 11. I think Luke chapter 11 is even more explicit than that. As you go to Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus says that we are to forgive and you will be forgiven. If you forgive, then you will be forgiven. That means if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Look in Luke chapter 11. Same model prayer context. But I think this is even more explicit. Luke 11 and verse 4. And here's our prayer, God. God, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive. What's the word you have after forgive? Everyone. Oh, that's a big word. We also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. If there's somebody that you have not forgiven yet, why not? And here's what you're going to say. They haven't repented. They haven't come to me and asked for forgiveness. Have you noticed that sometimes we want people to repent in a specific way, and if they don't do it exactly the way we've set up, we're not going to forgive them? We want them to apologize using these exact words in a script that I give you, and if you don't use these exact words in a script that I've given you, then I will not accept your apology. You ever noticed that before? Bible, Jesus says, if they don't repent, don't forgive them. But I want to ask you, have you ever talked to God and said, God, this is their issue. They haven't made this right. That's on them. But God, I want you to know I'm done with this. And it's okay with me if you're done with this, God, because what I want most for that person is for them to be forgiven and go to heaven. My forgiveness is dependent upon me forgiving others. God extending His mercy to me is dependent on me extending mercy to others. Matthew 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I need mercy. Do you need God's mercy? Oh man, every day do I need God's mercy. How do I get it? I've got to be merciful. Final verse I want you to look at is in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, you know the latter part of James chapter 2 talks about the relationship between faith and works. You know the beginning part of James chapter 2 talks about the fact that we are not to show partiality towards any individuals. But I want to close today's lesson with James chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 13 that judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. When we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, are we going to need mercy? I'll get more specific than that. When you stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, are you going to need mercy? Judgment is without mercy on those who have shown no mercy. Jesus, if we are going to be imitators of God, if we are going to be imitators of Jesus, we've got to imitate His mercy. Jesus was all about mercy. His life screamed forgiveness. His very name, Jesus, meant salvation. It's what He was all about. What about us? Are we as willing? Are we as desirous? Do we have the heart, the readiness, and the cheerfulness, underscore Romans 12, verse 8 in your Bible, the cheerfulness to forgive others? That's the only way that we can be like our Lord. And that's the only way that we can be forgiven of our own sins. May God help us to imitate our God. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Bible says that according to His abundant mercy, He has saved us. And in this context of mercy this morning, I want us to close with that thought. According to His abundant mercy, He saved us. How can you be saved? By the mercy of God. The only way you can be saved by the mercy of God is to follow the plan that He's laid out in Scripture. The Bible tells us to be saved by His mercy, that we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He came and lived a sinless life, died on that cross for my sins, your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that, the Bible says, then that sin that put Jesus on the cross, you ought to repent of that sin. You ought to turn away from that sin and make up your mind, I want to stop doing what's wrong and I want to start doing what's right. And if you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that's in your heart. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's what they did in the New Testament right before they were baptized. And this very day, you can do what every person did in the first century to receive the forgiveness of sins. You can be baptized, fully immersed in water, just like Eli was two days ago on Friday. Baptized into Christ. Not because the water has anything in it, but because the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins at that very moment. God will add you to His church. He'll write your name, register your name in heaven. You'll be raised to walk a new life. And what He asks for you from there on out is to walk with Him every day, serving Him faithfully. Is that where you are? Some of you have never been baptized so that at that moment you might receive the forgiveness of sins. Why don't you do it today? Some of you have done that, but you've wandered away from where you need to be in your walk with the Lord. You've taken steps that have led you away from God, and you're here today, so that indicates you're trying to get back with God. But why don't you make it official today to say, this is the day I'm coming back to the Lord, and I'm going to walk hand in hand with Him for the rest of my life. Wherever you are, if you're not right with Christ, why don't you get right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.